There was a doctor in the mid-20th century that performed several surgeries, and including some cosmetic surgeries. He began to take note that recovery time for various surgeries all had a similar event in mind. So, for example, if he performed a cosmetic surgery on a nose, he noticed that it took the person with the new nose, the new cosmetic nose, it took them 21 days before they got used to their new nose. He noticed for an amputee that after their leg was amputated, if you've ever experienced amputation or know someone who has had a limb amputated, you know that they have these ghost feelings and the nerves, and it feels like it's still there. Well, he noted in his experience that after 21 days, those feelings started to subside. And so he started to pour a lot of time into studying this idea of like, how long does it take to get used to something? And he discovered, and again, this is his experience, he 21 days. And so if you listen to many popular, like, self-help gurus or psychologists or therapists, they'll often quote that it takes 21 days for a habit, a new habit, to take. You want to start a habit of waking up early and exercising early. You want that habit to stick. You need to stick with that for at least 21 days. Now, subsequent years, there have been much more research, in-depth research on habit forming, and many have concluded that what that doctor experienced, they're not dismissing his experience, but they're saying scientifically, it really takes, on average, at least 60 days and up to 254 days for a habit to stick with you. So why am I telling you this? Am I telling you this so that I will depress you in forming new habits? No, I'm telling you this just to say this. We're talking about habits. We're talking about holy habits. And all throughout, what I have been suggesting is that in order to start a new habit, start small. Start with something manageable. Start with something that's measurable. Start with something that's attainable. I'm doing all the words in the acronym for SMART goals. But you want to do something that you can stick with for several days so that habit sticks. And the habits that we're talking about are habits that we pray and hope will be beneficial to our spiritual lives. And so we looked at the habit in the first or the second week of this series. We looked at the habit of reading scripture every day, that we would just employ or add to our lives, a habit of just taking a few moments every day. Let's stop saying that we don't have enough time to read scripture. We have plenty of time. We watch plenty of TV. We spend plenty of time on our cell phones. We have time to do the things that we need to do. We just have to make a conscious decision to do those things. And so reading our Bibles every day. The third week we looked at the holy conversation, the habit of prayer, taking time to spend time with God in prayer on a daily basis, and just do these small things over and over and over and again, and it becomes part of you. It becomes a habit that you're not even thinking about because it just happens. It's such a part of who you are. And the reason we want to look at holy habits is that our goal is to introduce these small habits so that we will, and we launch from this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 3, where Paul writes, "For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." What if our minds, if everything, every thought that came into our brain was taken captive and made obedient to Christ. Well, I believe that these holy habits are those habits that will help us to take every thought captive and obey Christ. And so we've considered the habits of daily scripture reading and daily prayer. We took a break last week. Let's return back to the habits this morning. We want to consider the habit of generosity, the habit of generosity. So this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us. So that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that they may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little." So I am extremely hesitant when it comes to criticizing other church movements. That's just not my thing. For me, there are more constructive paths to take. I don't make a judgment on others who are critical of other church movements. But that's just a path I have chosen not to take. That said, I'm going to spend a few minutes being critical. Kate Bowler is a scholar, a professor. She's an author. I believe she teaches at Duke University. And she wrote an incredible book called Blessed, A History of the American Prosperity Gospel. In this book, she chronicles the prosperity gospel movement. Many of you are probably aware of famed televangelists who would fall in this category. Without naming names, you know the ones that when you see them on TV, you'll hear them preach for a while. They'll use Bible and will sound pretty good. And then towards the end of their message, there's a typical turn towards the audience sending money or giving money. Some use the word sowing seed. You need to sow seed into this ministry. In this book, Kate Bowler, she chronicles the history of the prosperity movement from its very beginning. The idea is that if you give or sow seed, you will receive blessing from God. Faith and financial offering is directly tied to God's blessings and provisions for the giver. In short, giving and being generous is a transaction to ensure that you get something for your giving. So Kate Bowler writes several quotes throughout this book, but here are a couple. Quote, in the prosperity gospel, generosity is not just an act of kindness, but a spiritual transaction. Generosity is seen as a way to unlock God's blessing, a divine investment with guaranteed returns. Now, this doctrine has taken hold, and millions of people give their money in hopes of receiving not only God's provision, but wealth or prosperity. Friends, that ain't right. Now, I can't unpack it all, but in my humble opinion, there is some danger to this. Notwithstanding, there are several verses in the Bible that talk about God's blessing and what he will do for us. Y'all believe that? Am I okay in saying that? There are tons of verses that talk about God not only blessing us, but having a desire to bless us with a ton of things. God blessing his people, the minute, though, we start teaching that if we give, like, that's not enough. We if we want to really unlock God's blessing, we have to give more. That's where it gets a little dangerous for me. Because then it becomes a transaction. It becomes, God is the most powerful being in our existence, in our world. But somehow, I can do something financially to unlock God to do more. That doesn't make sense to me. And if you have nothing to give, if you are destitute and poor, I guess you're out of luck. Because you have nothing to give. That's why this is dangerous to me. And in many ways, this doctrine feeds our unhealthy appetite for stuff. We are people who want stuff, and we want more stuff, and we want more stuff. I want to issue you a challenge. This is going to be a fun challenge for you. Go to YouTube and search for Madam Blueberry VeggieTales. Madam Blueberry VeggieTales. It's a 30-minute cartoon. Please go watch that cartoon. It will change your life. It is a wonderful message. Watch it with the kids, but watch it as an adult as well. There's a wonderful message with Madam, Madam Butterfly. Oh, Butterfly. Madam Blueberry goes to the Stuff Mart. And the whole episode is about wanting more stuff. More stuff. Even though you have everything you need, you want more stuff. That's the unhealthy appetite that we all have. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of wanting more than we need. And it saddens me that churches would urge people to give money and more money as a way to activate God's blessing. If we are in God, we are already prosperous. Amen? If we are in God, we are already wealthy. We don't need to give more coin to get more. Now, that might work in investing and in stocks. Like, you're good at that. Like do that. But with God, being in God, we're already prosperous. Now, that's my criticism, and I'm done with criticisms, and you'll hardly hear me criticize often. All that said, Jesus followers are some of the most giving and generous people in the world. If you span the globe, there is evidence all around this earth. of the magnificent contributions made by the people of God. And this generosity is because the people of God are the offspring of God. God is a giving God and a generous God and a prosperous God and a God who not only has an abundance of resource, God has a desire to share his abundant blessings with all of us. From day one, he didn't ask for a cent. Listen, let me say this offset. If you don't get anything else from this sermon, please get this. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. God has everything. He's created everything. He doesn't need our money. I want your money, but that's me. I'm human. God doesn't need our money. God has demonstrated a desire and a willingness to give. From the very beginning, God gave us life when he breathed into the nostrils of humans. God gave us one another. God gave us this land to enjoy. God gave us things to help us live and survive on earth. God has given us mercy. God has given us grace. God has given us salvation. God has given us second chances. God has given us hope. God has given us himself as the ultimate resource, giving us permission to call him Father, Abba Father, Daddy. God has given us Jesus, and God has given us the power, the Holy Spirit. And so it is natural, as his offspring, we have his DNA, that we give out of the abundance that God has given us. So, having given us life, we generously give our lives to God. Having given us one another, we generously share our very lives with one another. Having given us the earth, we generously share what the earth produces with others. Having given us mercy, we generously show mercy to others. Having given us grace, we generously show grace to others. Having given us salvation, we generously give our allegiance to God's way. Having given us second chances, we generously use every chance we have to be a blessing to others. Having given us hope, we generously use everything we have to give hope to others. Having given us himself as God the Father, so that we might live and survive on the earth, we generously share those resources with everyone else. When you have more than you need, you build a larger table, not a higher fence. Having given us Jesus, we generously give our hearts to Jesus. Having given us the Holy Spirit, we generously walk in that Spirit and give of ourselves out of the abundance of power that we have, that we have been enabled with. We generously share the fruit of that Spirit. Have you heard of those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We offer that generously because it's part of our DNA. It's part of our being the offspring of God. We give. We are abundant in what we have, and we are abundant in the way that we give. It's no surprise that when the church began on the day of Pentecost, the days and months following the birth of this new movement were marked with the new Jesus people doing what? Being generous. Acts chapter 2, verse number 43. This is right after all these folks were baptized. They're formed into this new Christian community, the Way. Verse number 43 of chapter 2 says, "All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common." Now get this. "They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need." The first action of the early Christians was to do what God did for them. They gave generously. Chapter 4, verse number 32. "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of their possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. That's the story of the early, that's the story of people who were baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sold their stuff and said, hey, people have, just give it to the people as the abundance, sharing, generous, prosperous. There's not one text in the book of Acts that says they sold seed so that they could get rich. Just wasn't there. Two summaries in the early part of the book of Acts, the story of the early church, and we witness the early Christians giving to one another and being generous with one another. No indication that, again, these generous acts were efforts to be blessed by God. Rather, we see generosity being a function of already being blessed by God. That is, we don't give to get blessing. We give because we've been blessed. That is what we ought to operate in. That's the life we ought to embrace as part of our DNA. We don't give to get blessed. We give because we are blessed. We don't give to activate God's blessings. We give because God's blessings have activated us. This brings us back to Corinth, to whom Paul wrote to encourage them to share in a financial gift. Now, you need to know that Paul is being very artful with his words in Acts or 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. At the heart of this text is that there's some folks in Corinth that promised to send some money, some relief to some folks who were struggling. And Paul is saying, listen, I need you to stand by your word. You said you were going to do this. And he uses the example of the Macedonians as a way to help them to stand by their word. He uses the example of these Macedonian Christians who exemplified generosity, writing, for as I can testify, the Macedonians voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us. The Macedonians saw their generosity as a sharing in the blessings of God with others and sharing in the ministry of the kingdom. Now, that is what fuels generosity and abundant living. This is not some ploy to get more. It's an effort to share more. And giving money or items or resources is in partnership with the giving of self and time. When I speak of being generous and abundant, I'm not just talking about money. So many of you in this room have demonstrated generosity and abundance in so many ways, in addition to money and finances and things. Many of you spend your time, which is precious. Time is money, some people say. Many of you spend time being present with others. Do you realize how valuable that is and how abundant that is? Many of you spend so much of your energy making sure that others feel valuable and wanted and a part of something special. You expend your energy. You expend your heart and your mind. That's valuable. And many of you spend a lot of that in gifting to other people. That is generous, and that is abundant. Generosity, if some of you recall, is one of the values of our church. I preached a series on our values. You can find that series on our website. It's called Values, and there is a list of values, and at the end there is the value of generosity. And when I spoke on this value in the past, I shared that generosity comes in many forms. The first form is in the form of giving of our lives. We need to be generous in an offering of our lives to God. Romans chapter 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is the presentation of all that you are to God. That's being generous with your life. Don't give God a percentage of your life. Give him your entire life. And so there are ways that we can be generous and show that we have God's DNA in us and being abundant and prosperous by giving our entire lives to God and telling God, even God, you do with me what you need. I'm giving you my all. You take me, mold me, shape me, ship me, send me. You do whatever you need to do with me. I'm giving you my entire life. But we also are generous in giving our lives to one another. And so, what's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Giving to God, giving to others. Church, that is the habit of generosity. There's also the giving of our time. And so many times you'll hear me from up here and others up here asking for folks to volunteer and to serve in our various ministries. Come to a cookout. And many times I'll say, listen, you can come to the cookout. You don't need to do anything except sit with people and hang out with people. Because that is a valuable giving of your time. Sacrificing your time. We have more time than we give ourselves credit for, if we're being honest with ourselves. We're always saying we don't have enough time. We have plenty of time. And so the giving of our time is one of the ways that we share and that we're generous. So serving in ministry and being present. And then there's the giving of our resources. We are a church that has a ministry or has a practice of giving, particularly on Sundays. You can put your money in a box back there or give money online. You don't hear me banging you over the head talking about how much you should give or like how great a gift you ought to give. That's not for me to decide for you. That's between you and God. But know that giving on a regular basis here helps us to do ministry, helps us to try to share the gospel message with people. It helps us to be present in the community. And so every week you hear me thanking the church for its being so generous. Even though I don't preach on giving all the time, you don't hear me begging for money all the time. It's one of the most generous churches that I've ever been a part of. The way that you give, the way that this church rises to the occasion when there is a need to be met, we meet those needs because embedded in the spirits of so many people here is abundance, prosperity, giving. We are the offspring of God. So what small changes can we make in our lives to produce a daily habit of generosity? Perhaps the biggest and greatest resource that goes untapped, and it's a daily thing that we can do, because I believe that we are rich in this gift called availability. And so perhaps maybe the first small change we need to make is making ourselves available. Making ourselves available to God and making ourselves available to one another. To inform a better habit of generosity, I would challenge you to do this. Consider making small tweaks in our schedules that make us more available. When it comes to giving, finances, making small tweaks in our budgets that allow us to be even more generous. Maybe that means, every week we do one less double latte with almond soy milk or something like that, because that will save you like $9. Have y'all been to Caribou Coffee here on Main Street? I went to Caribou Coffee a couple weeks ago. I said, man, can I get a caramel high rise with an extra shot of espresso? It came up to $8. $8, and it didn't even taste that good. So what I'm going to do is give up my caramel high rise with double espresso, and then maybe find a way to be more useful with that $8. We are praying daily and reading scripture daily, but here's another daily practice for you. Every day when you wake up, or during the day, during your lunch break, or in the evening before you go to sleep. Just write on a small piece of paper by your bedside just five blessings that you enjoy because you are connected to God. And after you list those blessings, spend time in prayer thanking God and asking Him how you could use those blessings to share with others. That's creating a habit of generosity. Is living with an abundant mindset rather than a scarcity mindset. See, if we always think that we don't have enough, we always think that we're struggling with, we don't have, it's hard for us to give anything out of that. Time, energy, ministry, money. But when you start listing your blessings, the question becomes to God in your prayer time, God, how can I use all that you have blessed me with to be more generous? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6 says, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Do live and commit to generosity, or don't live and commit to generosity because you are forced to do it. Because you feel guilty. That makes it painful. Live and commit to generosity out of God's abundance in your life. Because when you start living out of the blessings that you list and out of the abundance that God has given you, it makes it cheerful to give your time and to give your money, share your resources, to spend time, to give some of your mental bandwidth to others and being generous, because God has blessed us so much. The habit of generosity isn't so much for me of coming up with a system of give or percentage or any of that. It's knowing that God has so richly enabled us. Like in this country, in this society, like we represent the wealthiest people on the planet. I know times is hard. I know eggs are expensive. I know gas is high. We're still the wealthiest people on the planet. And there is still room for us to be more generous, not just with money, but with our time, with our efforts, with our ministry. So might we add to the habit of reading scripture, a habit of praying, a habit of being generous. I invite the praise team to the stage. We'll sing an invitation song, a song that I think is tightly connected to this idea of what it means to be generous. Jesus, you heard that in the text that Paul wrote to Corinth. Jesus, though rich, became poor so that we would be rich. Jesus came for the last, the lost, and the least, the left out, and the lonely. The way we attend to the last, the least, the lost, the left out, and the lonely is to be generous with our time, generous with our resources, generous with our minds, and generous with our hearts. As we're singing this song, if there's any way that we can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, through meeting with you, if you need help coming up with an inventory of your blessings so that you can see how richly you are blessed and find out ways that you can bless others, man, let's talk about that. Let's have that conversation. And as a church, let's be mindful of the position that we are in to help others. There's an opportunity before us to share in the blessing of the Guyana ministry, where they are doing fabulous and fantastic work And perhaps if you're thinking of ways to financially bless someone, think about ways that you can bless the Guyana ministry. Just with a few dollars, just 10 extra dollars, $15, $20 will go a long way in Guyana to bring the gospel to their neighbors, bring the gospel to the church, and to be an encouragement to the work of the Lord there in Guyana. If there's any other ways that we can be in prayer for you or helpful to you, please come as we stand and as we stand.